So welcome to the latest edition of the End Zone. And because last week was Chiefs Raiders week, and we really didn't hype it a lot because, you know, it's just the way the season's gone.
The Raiders suck. We got it. We got it. You know, it's not as fun when the Raiders suck.
No, there's that. And there was some stuff that happened after our recording last week that I will be addressing here soon. But I got to give your boys credit. They played hard and they hung in, Kevin.
If it wasn't for those three crucial fumbles by our three different running backs, we might have seen a different outcome to that game.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to be the first to say, I mean, I'm not using excuses. We didn't play that great. We played flat, and that game had a very weird energy to it. And
for obvious reasons,
which we'll talk about. And I think that definitely affected the Kansas City, the fact that the starting running back for Kansas City really barely had any practice time this week because of when things happened. But, you know, it still doesn't matter. It's NFL, and it's next man up. But like I said, your Raiders, they showed up. They played hard. Derek Carr, probably one of the better games I've seen him have this season.
What's funny about, if you look at his stats are actually quite good. He's been playing very well. His interceptions are way down. It's just the rest of the team is just not gelling.
Well, and as far as our defense goes, you know what's frustrating, what I see is we're getting good defensive line play. We're like second in the NFL in sacks. It's our secondary is killing us. And Eric Berry's practicing, and there's a lot of talk he'll be back for maybe the Baltimore game. And if nothing else, what I hope is that maybe he can settle these guys down and put them in a little better positions on the field, because he's just as much a coach as he is anything else on the field. So I'm hoping we'll see some help there. But again, it was a great game. Chiefs, Raiders, we've talked about it. When the two go together, you throw it all out and crazy things happen. And this game was definitely full of a lot of crazy things. But Kevin, can you bear with me? Because I need to address the humongous-sized elephant in the room. And that is what happened.
You're on stage,
I've had people
bro.
Asking me, and I've kind of held off on my comments, but on Friday, the Kansas City Chiefs released Kareem Hunt, the All-Pro running back, Rookie of the Year, after the video surfaced from TMZ of the horrendous things he did to a woman. And first and foremost, I want to say I completely agree with the Kansas City Chiefs' decision to cut Kareem Hunt. And I will reiterate things. I know Kareem Hunt lied to the Kansas City Chiefs about what happened. The Chiefs in the NFL claim they have not seen the video, and knowing some things I know about legal things and some family friends that I asked, it's very possible that they never did get a hold of that video because of legal reasons, and they refused to pay to get the video, unlike TMZ. What Kareem Hunt did, there's no excuse for, period. You do not lay your hands on a woman unless your life is in danger. If that person, that female, is threatening your life with a weapon or a knife, or you have to defend yourself. What Kareem Hunt did was inexcusable, especially after everything that has happened with Ray Rice and several other players in the league. Then to lie about it to the team. I give the Chiefs credit for cutting Kareem Hunt, not wasting any time about it. And they have flat out said that he will never be a Kansas City Chief again. There is nothing he can do to make that happen. Andy Reid has told Kareem Hunt that he needs to not worry about football right now and worry about himself as a person and go get the help he needs. There's been a lot of other things to come out. The NFL is now investigating three separate incidences with Kareem Hunt. One was the February incident, which we knew about, but nobody knew quite to the extent until the video came out. There was another event right before training camp where supposedly he punched a man in the face. And just today, ESPN is breaking about a story of that happened in January where Kareem Hunt and a couple other people beat up a man at a club. So now we're looking at three instances. Kareem Hunt will not play this season. He will not be allowed off of the commissioner's exempt list before the season is over while they investigate all of this. And if I were to say put a bet on it. My guess is going to be that the NFL will suspend Kareem Hunt for the 2019 season as well. I think the NFL also needs to take a look at themselves, and so do the Kansas City Chiefs. The NFL did not bother to interview Kareem Hunt, Kevin. They didn't bring him into the league offices. They just said, okay, Kansas City, you talk to him. What did he say? And that was it. You would think the NFL would learn after the Ray Rice situation to be a little more thorough.
Yeah, this seemed really weird and funky. And speaking of Ray Rice, we all saw the video of him pulling his wife out of the, you know, out of the elevator and what happened there. He didn't play football.
Yeah, and he was 27 at the time, but a lot of people, he had put a lot of mileage on his body. I don't think he's ever going to play football again. Kareem Hunt is 23 years old. And, I mean, he is an all-pro running back. Will some team probably sign him? Maybe somewhere down the line once they know what his suspension is going to be. But nobody's going to touch him right now. He's too toxic.
Yeah, because he cleared waivers and nobody picked him up. So I guess the question I have is, two-part question is, when if there was a team that was that desperate to gamble on him, if you pick him up on waivers, do you have to then within a certain amount of time solidify a contract with said player, or can you do a wait and see approach to see what happens with his punishment before any contracts are
if you pick up a player off waivers, you take assumption of assume his contract. You got him on the,
you're talking about the one that he had with the Chiefs.
He was waived. So if you pick him up off of waivers, you're getting him at whatever contract he was on.
What kind of contract did he have?
Not a big one. He was still on, you have to remember, he was still on his rookie deal. And he was a third round draft pick.
Okay.
So
he was probably going to get what? A
couple million.
5 million. Oh, a couple. Yeah, less than five million.
Right.
Okay.
The other thing.
All right. And so no one wants to pay that right now because they don't know, first of all, what's going to happen, and they don't know when he's going to be allowed
Correct.
To play next.
And there is one other thing with Kansas City I want to address too, Kevin, and I've seen a lot of people giving the Chiefs flack for this, is, oh, you cut Kareem Hunt, but you have Tyreek Hill on your team. Now, for those of you who don't know, when Tyreek Hill was in college, he hit a woman who was pregnant. Now, he hit this woman. This woman is now his wife. Tyreek Hill was taken to court. He pleaded guilty. He did his punishment. He has been to counseling. He has kept his nose clean since this incident. And like I said, after this incident, he made good with this woman, and this woman married him. Now, I'm not condoning what Tyreek Hill did, but here's the difference. Tyreek Hill was found guilty. He paid the penance for what he did, and he has rehabilitated himself.
Right.
Kareem Hunt is still like saying, oh, well, that isn't me. Kareem Hunt is not fully accepting responsibility. And this just happened. This isn't like it was with Tyreek Hill. This happened before he was even drafted in the NFL.
Well, he attempted to, the start of his apology tour on ESPN, apparently.
And that didn't go across as well as I think he intended it to go.
Right. I don't think people are ready to hear him begin to.
And Kevin, that, I think the big thing here is to, if there's video, it makes it 100 times worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I support what Kansas City did. Spencer, as far as the football side of it goes, yes, I think Kareem Hunt betrayed the Kansas City Chiefs, his teammates, the coaching staff, the fans, especially by doing what he did. He's a young guy. Maybe he gets his life cleaned up, but if it were me, he would not be allowed to play in the NFL again. That's my feeling on it. So
a lot of people think that he won't, you know,
but if somebody's willing to pick up Reuben Foster, Washington Redskins,
what did Reuben Foster do?
Reuben Foster has had three violence issues attributed to him in the last year and a half. And right before the game in Tampa last week, 2 weeks ago, he got arrested for domestic violence of hitting a woman. And the 49ers had told him after his last issue, if it happens again, you're gone. And they did what they said they were going to do. They cut him. But unlike Kareem Hunt, who went through waivers, the Washington Redskins claimed Reuben Foster off waivers.
Yeah, which means they had to honor the contract that he had with San Francisco.
And right now, Reuben Foster is also on the commissioner's exempt list while the investigation is going on. So,
and the exempt list means that you are not allowed to play football until what it was that you're accused of is not only settled, but then the punishment isn't stated.
The exempt list means he cannot practice with the team. He cannot attend games with the team. He cannot do anything NFL related. The only thing he is allowed to do is during off times of practice, go to the facility to get any injury treatment he might have or any therapy he might need. Other than that, he is not allowed to associate with the team, the NFL, anything. So that is what is going on. What really makes this bad is it's been a great NFL season, truthfully. I mean, as much as we, you know.
If you're a Chiefs fan.
Just in general, you had the highest rated Thursday night game ever between New Orleans and Dallas, and then not even 12 hours after this news breaks with Kareem Hunt. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. Roger Goodell needs to be fired. How the NFL handles these things is horrid. They need to hire a firm that will do investigations properly, not internal investigations by the league, because they've proven they cannot handle it properly.
And the officials need another official to catch blatant hits on running backs too.
But it's just, there's a lot of things, and you know, we love football, but when things like this happen, it's very frustrating. But enough on the depressing stuff. Let's move on. And first and foremost, let me tell you where you can find not only the End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts at fpnet.podbean.com. which is our homepage where all of our great shows are. You can also use your mobile device and use the Podbean app. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for your Android users, and of course now on Spotify as well. Once again, just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You want to tell us how we're doing? You can email us at thefandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. On Instagram, you can follow us on Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, we're at FanPod Network. You can find me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW. And on Instagram at AKyleFandom. You can find Mr. Flashlight, Kevin Reitzel himself, on Twitter where?
I was playing with a flashlight. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
So, Kevin, I think it's safe to say week 13 of the NFL was a little weird.
That's a safe assumption,
you know,
yeah.
You always have that one week where just things go haywire in the NFL, and I think this was definitely one of those weeks. And it started right off on Thursday night where the Dallas Cowboys beat the New Orleans Saints 13-10.
A little low-scoring event there, if you ask me.
I don't think anybody would have predicted this score or this outcome. Dallas is for real, I think, Kevin.
Yeah, they've won four straight games for the first time since 2016. Their defense is looking
and,
good.
You know, Amari Cooper making a big difference for them. That first round draft pick is going to be a little higher, a little later in the first round than I think Raider fans were hoping for. But the Ravens go into Atlanta and beat the Falcons 26-16. The Lamar Jackson show continues for the Ravens. And Matt Ryan has his lowest passing yards since 2011 with 131 passing yards. Again, just a...
How do you even consider to bring Joe Flacco back after a three-game winning streak?
I don't see how you do it. I think Joe Flacco is a quarterback for another team next year if he's even in the league.
Yeah, you ride the hot hand right now.
The potential rookie of the year, Philip Lindsay, has a huge game, including two rush touchdowns. As the Broncos beat the... falling apart rapidly, Cincinnati Bengals, 24-10 in this game. AJ Green
re-injures
that toe and is done for the season. Him and
They shouldn't have played him.
Just said you're done for the season, AJ. Sorry. Him and Andy Dalton can play tiddlywinks on the sideline, I guess. So
yeah,
the Rams just keep on rolling though, beating the Lions 30-16. This, I don't see how they're not the best team in football, Kevin.
Well, they've clinched the NFC West. They have a playoff spot. Question is when are they going to start resting players for the playoffs? That's what I'm curious about. It's only week 13, right? Yeah, but
they did.
14.
They didn't do it last year. And I they know they're going to have the bye week. So it will be an interesting call. The Arizona Cardinals go into Lambeau on a snowy day and beat the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers look like they didn't even want to play in this game from what I saw in the red zone, Kevin.
Yeah, which led to other things after the game. We'll get to that. Which we'll talk about.
Houston Texans, 9-game winning streak. They just keep rolling, beating up on the Browns, 29-13.
I guess we have to take them seriously.
I think just a little bit, and they seem to be getting better every week. Hey, what do you know? That fantasy football Jacksonville Jaguars defense finally decided to make an appearance this season, Kevin.
Yeah, but according to the score, you think they played baseball instead of football.
Cody Kessler there. The Cody Kessler air starts off proper. He's 1-0 as the Jaguars starter.
6-0 they win.
It's tied for the fewest points in a game since 2007. I mean, wow. I got to give the Jaguars D credit. That was a high-powered offense with Andrew Luck, and they shut them down. The Miami Dolphins are a totally different team when Ryan Tannehill is actually.
But hold on. You could say the same thing for the Colts. You know, the Colts defense, or there maybe the lack of the Jaguars offense. But, you know, I mean, the Colts only gave up two field goals.
Okay, but yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Cody Kessler was a starter, and Leonard Fournette was suspended. But again, the Miami Dolphins, a different team with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback as he threw three TDs and leads the Dolphins to victories over the Bills 21-17. But the thing I got to talk about in this game, Kevin, is Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who had over 100 yards rushing in this game.
They released, Kelvin Benjamin today, the Bills? And the other guy that used to play for the Raiders.
They're going with the youth movement in Buffalo. And I know your hashtag sad face over Kelvin Benjamin not being in the NFL.
Hashtag Kevin hates Kelvin Benjamin.
In a crazy game, the Giants in overtime beat the Bears 30-27.
Odell Beckham throws another.
This had a successful onside kick. This thing was crazy. This game was absolutely nuts. Again, this reflects the week, though, as weird things were happening. And speaking of weird things, Cam Newton intercepted 4 times by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Buccaneers win 24-17.
Did you see his after-game interview and the outfit wearing? Apparently, the Buccaneers also intercepted his shirt he was supposed to be wearing underneath his jacket. Well.
That's Cam for you. Jameis Winston, I got to point out, since coming back as the starter this last time, only one turnover, 6 touchdowns, and completing 72% of his passes. So maybe we're finally seeing Jameis turn the corner. So that'll be interesting. We talked about the Chiefs beating the Raiders 40-33 at the top of the show. And a game I don't think anybody actually watched, so I don't know if it really happened. The Titans beat the Jets 26-22.
Yeah, I just yawned. Sorry.
The Patriots just keep on rolling, and the Vikings might be thinking, could we get Case Keenum back? Because the magic's kind of gone. The Patriots win 24-10 over the Vikings in a bit of a snooze fest, truthfully.
Vikings are 6-5. They're
6-5
right now.
They're still in the mix, but I mean, still, when I watched this game, it was just a weird game in itself. The Seahawks, though, put a drubbing on the San Francisco 49ers, 43-16. Russell Wilson throws 4 touchdown passes.
It's the scrappy Seahawks, man. We knew this was going to happen.
Sunday night, things get weird. Steelers were up at halftime and looked to be in complete control of this game, and yet the Chargers come back and win 33-30 after the third field goal attempt to actually win the game.
Because of the offsides? Yeah. Is that
the
what it was?
Three straight offsides plays in clack. The kick that he made, there was an offsides on, and they declined. But and this is something, this is why I think the Charger season scares me a little bit, because this is something that would have gone the other way for the Chargers in the past.
They're 9-3, yeah. Man.
They're just rolling. And the Philadelphia Eagles put themselves right back in the hunt with a 28-13 win over the Redskins on Monday night. And we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but I don't know if I ever want to be a Redskins quarterback, Kevin.
No, apparently you have to break bones.
That doesn't sound real pleasant to me. But well, let's take a quick look at the standings, Kevin, as we're kind of getting into the playoff crunch now.
Yeah, so AFC East, no big surprise there. We got New England Patriots at 9-3 with Miami followed at 6-6. Pittsburgh Steelers at 7-4. And one with a tie, and Baltimore right there at 7-5. So it's got a two-team race there as well. The South, we've got Houston Texans at 9-3. Let me ask you this, Kyle. Followed by Indianapolis at 6-6 and Tennessee Titans at 6-6. Is this division the Houston Texans to take?
I think they've got this sealed up. They play the Colts this coming upcoming week, and if they win that, it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Okay. All right. AFC West, we have your Chiefs at 10-2, but right behind them is Los Angeles Chargers. We touched on it just a second ago. You a little nervous?
They are worrying me. The Kareem Hunt situation does affect Kansas City. They need to kind of get that sorted out. But yeah, the Chargers are playing really good football. We beat them at the beginning of the season, which at least gives me a little bit of a tiebreaker because the Chargers have lost two games within the division. So the Chargers would actually have to finish with a better record than Kansas City at this point to win the division. What I find real interesting in the AFC, though, Kevin, is I think the divisions are all pretty much, I don't want to say sewn up, but outside of the AFC North, where Baltimore's still in the mix. But the wild card situation is a little bit crazy. I count the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Colts, the Titans, the Chargers, and the Denver Broncos all still in the mix for that last wild card.
Yep. In the hunt, as they say. Yep. For the NFC East, we've got Dallas at 7-5, followed by Philadelphia and Washington tied at 6-6. That's still a race for all three of those. We can count
I'm actually going to rule out the Redskins, too.
Okay. Given their quarterback issue, we're assuming they're going to start to tank, so we'll see about that. NFC North, we've got Chicago at 8-4, followed by Minnesota at 6-5. Both Green Bay and Detroit have four wins each. Bears to take, but Green Bay saying not just quite yet.
I think Green Bay is pretty much done. Minnesota's still in that mix, though.
Okay, so here's the interesting. NFC South, I think this definitely belongs to New Orleans. Carolina Panthers are at 6-6. Panthers at 5-7.
You mean the Bucks at 5-7? You said Panthers at 5-7. Buccaneers are at 5.
I'm sorry. Carolina at 6-6. Tampa Bay at 5-7. Carolina Panthers trying to salvage their season and a playoff wild card is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, here. I don't know. They've lost four in a row now. It's getting kind of ugly in Carolina. And they did lose that game against Seattle, which was a major tiebreaker game.
True. And speaking of Seattle's division, NFC West, first team to clinch, Los Angeles Rams at 11-1, followed by Seattle. Seattle 7-5 have a shot at the wild card.
Yeah, no. Right now,
I mean, who else we got? Minnesota, Philadelphia, I guess
Carolina
maybe.
And Seattle. I'm going to say something crazy here, Kevin.
Oh, you go ahead.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers play the New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay's won two in a row, and they're playing a lot different football. If by some miracle the Tampa Bay Buccaneers upset the New Orleans Saints, do we have to put them in the possible race for the playoff picture?
Possibly. Here's a bigger question, though. The next thing we're going to talk about is the power rankings. I got a question for you. Going into week 14,
where we kind of start seeing the playoff picture after the week 14 to kind of start settling, not necessarily, but in certain situations, does going over the power rankings really matter anymore?
I think it's more for entertainment purposes only.
Okay. Well, with that said, let's just stick to the top 10 then.
Well, number one, the Rams. I don't think we can argue that. Still coming in at number two, and they won Kansas City. But I got to say, with the Kareem Hunt situation, that's a shaky number two. I'll even be the one that's.
I'm not sold on that. Spencer Ware came in. He's been their number two quarterback anyway. Now he's number one. I'm not sure you guys have much to worry about yet.
Yeah,
you guys got a great
quarterback. Patriots at number three. It's December here, as they say here. Here come the Patriots, and they seem to be improving. The Saints drop all the way to four with the Dallas loss. I personally think the Saints should still be in that third position. I would actually the Texans at five. That makes sense. Cowboys at six. Can't argue.
I was about to say I put the Seahawks above the Cowboys, but now I'm not sure.
Here's something I do have a problem with. They got the Seahawks at seven, the Bears at eight, and the Chargers at nine. Would you put the Chargers all the way up to at least six, Kevin, over the Cowboys?
I would definitely put them above the Seahawks and maybe Cowboys. Bears, I would have put higher. That's where I have my issue. I would have put the Bears higher. Even though the Bears lost to the Giants, they're still a strong, dominant team. You're getting Mitchell Trubisky back. The Bears should be higher.
Yeah, well, and the Bears have a test coming up. And then rounding out the top 10, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just got to say the Baltimore Ravens hanging real close at 11. So,
yeah.
But let's take a look at the news, Kevin, because not a lot of it, but very interesting. And I think the top story was what we obviously addressed the Kareem Hunt issue already. The top story was what happened about 2 hours after the Arizona Cardinals Green Bay Packers game during the end of the afternoon games. They didn't even get finished with the afternoon games and this story broke. And the Green Bay Packers have fired head coach Mike McCarthy. Not shocked.
No, not shocked. Maybe curious of why they did it right now instead of waiting till the end of the season. But I have a feeling this has a lot to do with Aaron Rodgers. Because the money they're paying him, and I know there's been a little disconnect between those two guys, and I think it has a lot. I think there was some Aaron Rodgers pressure there to have it done. Because normally you wait till a little bit later. But, of course, lately they've been firing assistant coaches halfway through the season.
Okay, so I got a couple of things on this. I actually think this was the right move for Green Bay to do now. Not only because I think there was Aaron Rodgers pressure. But you watch the energy that team has played with the last few weeks. And I don't think these players wanted to play for Mike McCarthy anymore. I think it gives Green Bay a head start on their coaching search. And it gives Mike McCarthy a chance to kind of sit back and maybe evaluate himself, because he will be a head coach in the NFL next year. I will be shocked if he isn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So I think this was kind of one of those best things for everybody all the way around. I will be curious to see how Green Bay plays and if you see a difference in the energy that Green Bay brings to the field next Sunday. And if you see a different looking Green Bay team, you're going to know. Aaron Rodgers probably led a tanking of Mike McCarthy. But, too, we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and you were talking about Spencer Ware. Well, the Chiefs yesterday brought back another familiar face as they brought back Charkhandrick West into the running back fold.
Oh, that guy. Wow. Yeah, I heard you went into the Matrix and no one saw him for a while.
This is a smart signing by Kansas City. This is a guy who already knows their offense. He's been a proven back in the league. If nothing else, he's a good chase. Him and Spencer Ware, before Kareem Hunt got there, had a really good combined season between the two of them. So this is a familiarity thing you're bringing. It's, like I said, the big thing for Kansas City is this is somebody who knows the offense. He's not having to learn on the fly. So I think this was a smart move on Kansas City. They needed to add another running back to depth because they had Damian Williams, but after that there was nothing. So bringing in that third running back is going to be a good fit. But, Kevin, as I said earlier, I don't ever want to be a Red.
No, Kyle, I've told you I don't want to be a quarterback for the Redskins. I like my bones.
Is there a Joe Theismann curse?
Oh man. So yeah, we lost. They lost another quarterback to a broken bone.
Colt McCoy breaks his leg. There'll be a lot of cast signings apparently at the Redskins after season party.
And speaking of Redskins quarterback news, according to the Fantasy Life app, which you guys should get, it's interesting because they get a lot of new updates. Josh Johnson is expected to arrive at the Redskins facility and sign with the team as early as tomorrow, barring any unexpected change per source. Johnson was among the QBs the team worked out previously before settling on Mark Buttfumble Sanchez. That is from Josina Anderson. One Raider news, Raiders are signing former Bronco and Panthers running back CJ Anderson per source. Adam Schefter.
Interesting. I'm thinking the Raiders would like a running back who will hold on to the football.
That would be great, especially against the Chiefs.
Speaking of Raiders and running backs, Kevin, did they do some kind of voodoo thing to start jinxing running backs before they play them? Because obviously we had the Kareem Hunt situation, and now James Conner with a high ankle sprain will be out versus the Oakland Raiders this week. Is there something we should know about?
No, it's not, it doesn't matter.
Should Joe Mixon be afraid?
Yeah. I'll be at that game, so I'll let you know.
So, with that, Kevin, shall we take a look at what's coming up? Because there's some big games in Week 14.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Is there? Really?
I think there is.
Is there? Okay. Yeah, okay. I see a few.
So, we'll just run down the score. Thursday night, you can all take a nap as Jacksonville plays at Tennessee. Come on, it's all about Cody Kessler now, Kevin.
I will not be watching that game.
A game that actually legitimately worries me is Baltimore at Kansas City. That Lamar Jackson running factor, a little scary, the way our defense...
He's good. I watched him, and he's good.
I'm not so much worried about his arm, but I am worried about his running abilities.
Yeah.
Indianapolis at Houston, pretty much, I think that's the division championship game right there.
Yeah, yeah. I'd watch that.
Carolina at Cleveland. I think this could be, Cleveland could be excited about the opportunity to knock Carolina out of the playoffs.
I'm curious if that line is going to change, because currently Carolina's favored only by one.
Atlanta at Green Bay. This has curiosity to see how Green Bay comes out with a new head coach.
Joe Philbin, right? That's what they
the
got.
The guy who was famous.
Yeah. Let's just the interim head coach. Let's be honest here. It's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
What I laugh about is their interim head coach is the guy from the Bullygate with a couple of years ago with the Miami Dolphins. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. That actually could be a little intriguing if Tampa keeps playing like they are. Buffalo at the Jets. Kevin, I gotta say this.
Jets are at Buffalo.
I gotta say this though, Buffalo has all of a sudden become kind of an interesting team to watch. They're the kind of that feisty team you want to root for.
I think they found their quarterback in the future.
I think so too. New England at Miami, really.
But, do we have to watch out for Miami though?
I don't know if they can beat New England.
They should try the Wildcat.
Can they get Pat White out of retirement? I flexed down to the Sunday night game, and I think the game of the week, the Rams at Chicago.
Yeah, that's a good game to flex for that position.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a very good Sunday night game to watch. We have the New York Giants at the Washington Redskins. The question will be, will Mark Sanchez make it through the game?
This is true.
Denver travels to San Francisco. Okay, then. Cincinnati at the Chargers. Another okay, then. Detroit at Arizona. Okay, then. Big game, actually.
Didn't you say there was a lot of interesting games?
There are several interesting games for this time of season. This is an interesting game. Philadelphia at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with him.
Pittsburgh at Oakland. We'll see if Oakland can... man up again and at least give me competitive.
This was supposed to be the Sunday yes. night game, too, which is sad. They're like, nah, Raiders suck. Let's not give them this. And you know what? I'm not mad about that. I mean, you do, as a team, have to earn those primetime slots, you know? And if the NFL has the strength and the ability to pull you from that, you know, it's because you're sucking.
Monday night football. This is a big playoff implication game, Kevin. The Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I would say there's probably about six very intriguing games on the schedule this week as we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the NFL season. But with that, before we get into, of course, our trademark mediocre fantasy football news, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on here at the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So how's fantasy football treating you, Kevin?
Let's see. In my NFL league with you in first place, I think I'm playing for the consolation playoffs. The ESPN one, I lost, right? So let's look at the standings here. I forgot where I was at. Yeah, I'm in last place in my division. You're in first place at 9-4. I'm at 6-7, so I'll probably be doing the same. Now for the, I'm in first place though in my Raider Yahoo League, alone in first place, which is kind of nice. So, I'll be heading into the playoffs there. And also I'm heading into the playoffs as well for the Silver and Black UK League. So I got a couple of good, teams going on, but the two big ones I want the most not happening.
Well, I, as you
what about you?
Yeah,
you got three teams, right?
Place in the two leagues we're in together. In my other league, my big CBS Sports League, basically it's down to this week. I play the opponent I play. It's a win you're in, lose you're out game. So it's coming down to that. We'll see what happens. But Kevin, we got to talk about. Who is our Jimmy GQ Man Crusher of the week?
I'm still figuring that out. I got a couple options. You
well,
go first.
I've been thinking about this and trying to figure it out because it was such a weird week. But I think the guy I got to go with is one Saquon Barkley, Kevin.
Do you have him on any of your leagues?
I play him a bunch this week, and I'm a little scared.
Yeah. I have – I don't know if he's been my man crush. I don't think he has, but I got to give it up for Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. He was mine last week, and this week he had another huge game.
Yeah, that dude is just good. Have we said Philip Lindsay too? I mean, rookie of the year,
well,
would you say?
It's either him or Saquon.
I got to give it to Philip Lindsay. I mean, I don't know. He just seems
undrafted
to be
a rookie.
You know, and he, yeah, that's the best thing about this too. But pretty much coming off the street there and such. So, you know, and I had another runner up too. I had Zach Ertz, but I think he's already been my man.
So now I want to point out about Philip Lindsay because somebody made a comment I saw online and like, how dare he wear number 30, which of course it was Terrell Davis's number. Philip Lindsay got Terrell Davis's permission, and Terrell Davis told him he would be honored if he wore that jersey.
Oh, that's even better. That's cool, so, man. How does that happen? How does an undrafted free rookie have his number?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, but that's why.
Is that where you go on like Twitter and say at Terrell Davis, can I please use your number? I'm an undrafted free agent or free.
Apparently,
or
he went to Broncos management and actually got his phone number and called him. Once.
Oh, okay. Well, that was cool of him to do that.
So, Kevin, with the good comes the bad, and it's time to kick some people off of Fantasy Island. So, who has been stinking it up and needs a bath in the water?
I don't know. It's funny. I haven't really had anyone that's disappointed me that much that I could think of. What about you? You got something?
I'm going to throw Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson from Fantasy Island.
Oh, yeah. I actually dropped him last week. I forgot about that. Good call. I don't know. Are any of the receivers for them really kind of stepping up and being
the
man?
This is the frustrating thing about the Chicago Bears. They have some really talented players, but nobody, not Tariq Cohen, not Jordan Howard, not Allen Robinson, not Anthony Miller, not Taylor Gabriel, not Trey Burton, none of them are putting up consistent fantasy numbers. And Mitchell Trubisky has put up at least solid fantasy numbers for the most part through the season because he runs so dang much.
Right. Yeah. I'm having a little bit of, I'm having an issue and I'm putting him on notice. I don't have anyone that I'm expelling right now to fantasy off of Fantasy Island, but, Njoku, the, tight end for Cleveland, I've been sitting him and he was doing quite well for a while, but I ended up picking up, Cameron Brate instead, and he's been doing better.
Winston as quarterback is a totally different player. But speaking of pickups,
we're
down to the wire. A lot of people getting ready to start playoffs or within even as soon as this week. There's a few interesting things still out there. You're basically now talking about players who are filling in because of injuries and things like that. But have you got anybody that's on your radar, Mr. Reitzel?
I can't remember his name, so you're gonna have to help me out here. The running back, the backup from Matt Breida at San Francisco, stepped in and did quite well.
Oh yeah, I can't think of his name either.
And also the third string, but now the backup for Austin Eckler for San Diego, he came in and outperformed Austin Eckler and was very impressive.
His name I can remember.
I'm sorry, guys. Yes, thank you, Justin Jackson. If you're interested and you need some running back help for a couple of weeks or so, I don't think I'm sorry, what's his name for San Diego? He's going to be out for another couple of weeks. Austin Eckler, I think, is probably going to lose some snaps to Jackson. This guy for San Francisco, what's his name, Kyle? Help me out.
He's so anonymous, we can't even name him, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my God! And he did really well. And I'm trying to bring his name up here. Hold on.
I do have another one. Chase Edmonds of the Arizona Cardinals. He had a couple touchdowns against Green Bay.
Chase Edmonds.
The running back you're thinking of is Jeff Wilson.
Thank you. Yes, those are the guys you want to keep an eye on. And also, you might want to just counter-draft them if you're low on the totem pole here so you can get them before someone else good gets them so they can't have them.
If you want to be that kind of jerk, so. Then you're out of contention and just want to take players from the teams that are in the playoffs.
Hell yeah, you do.
Well, you have much experience with it, right?
Yes, I do, right? I do.
Well, speaking of,
Well, I've got a player to drop because I had him in three of my leagues, and that's Kareem Hunt. So I have someone to drop. Go. So
what? You're not going to save him for a keeper league?
I don't do keeper leagues. I don't like keeper leagues.
Well, let's discuss before we get out of here, Kevin, our head to head where we
the one thing I am good at.
Yeah, well, Kevin regained some of his lead back on me after I gained a couple of games last week because he's back up by 20. The spread is the great equalizer, is it not?
Oh, it is. It is, especially when we... Now, keep in mind, I don't know if we've been that detailed about this, but, one of us takes the favorite and one of us takes the underdog in the points, but... We kind of bid sometimes on that line. We might not think that it is up to par with what we think. So sometimes someone that's favored, we think should not be favored. And so we switch the line on that. And sometimes we end up taking, completely different lines. So we don't just take the line that the line gives us. We actually adjust that a lot of time. And, that comes into play a lot when it comes to winning or losing.
Exactly. So, but it's a fun competition, and it's always interesting to see what's going on. But kind
of... Well, okay, hold on, Kyle. So right now I'm up by 20 with 1, 2, 3, 4 more games to go. But we also got the playoffs. And we got to remind the people that when it comes to the playoffs, the wild card weekend, each game is worth 2 points. Then the divisional is worth 3, the conference is worth 4, and the Super Bowl is worth 5 points. And then we have those additional bonus points where we picked what 2 teams we think we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. You changed yours at the halfway point, so those are worth 5 points for you, but I kept my 10-point one. So you're not out of it yet. Now, as for Bob...
What about Bob?
We've been doing this for quite a while, around 20 years now, I think. And no one has ever had a 40-point lead during the regular part of the season. And I have a 40-point lead on him right now.
Poor Bob.
Neener.
Poor Bob. But, Kevin, I got to ask you, because now we're down to the last few weeks of the season. And we talked a little bit about this last week, how it's kind of hard for you to be excited about what's going on with what the Raiders have been doing. And now they're actually officially eliminated from the playoffs. Obviously, I have Kansas City to kind of still focus on. But for somebody in your position, I want to ask, what is the attraction to ride out the season at this point?
That's a good point. This weekly football thing that I'm doing with you,
even as a fan, obviously there's fantasy.
Fantasy helps definitely, especially if you're doing well in a couple of leagues, which I am. I'm in 5. I don't know if I want to do 5 again next year, just because there's a lot to manage there. But the one of the things that I'm looking forward to, believe it or not, is in 2 weeks I'm going to be driving up to Cincinnati to see my Raiders play up there. And we may actually have a chance to win that game now that they don't have their quarterback and lead receiver. But to me, that's mostly going to be about reuniting with good Raider friends of mine. And because, Raider fans travel, and we always do a great tailgate. And when our team's bad, we know what it is. But, we make the most of it and have a lot of fun meeting up and hanging out. And it's kind of like a family reunion. So you ask, what is it worth paying attention to, I guess, is watching other teams play well when your team is not helps.
I can agree with that.
I mean, like that Thursday night game, it was, we wanted something a little more exciting to watch, but there's been some other exciting games.
Well, with that, I think it's going to be time to kind of wrap things up and make our final push. But before we do, I just want to do a quick personal shout out to any of my friends up in Alaska who listen to this podcast. I just want to say I'm glad you're safe. Hopefully you didn't have too much damage after that massive earthquake last Friday. And just want to give you guys a shout out for hanging tough up there. So with that, Kevin, you have a Philly special maybe that can get us there?
Sure. Let me get Odell Beckham. He likes to throw touchdowns. Maybe he should be the quarterback.
He might be next year. And with that, it's a long bomb from Beckham leading us once again into the end zone.